found your place in Hebrews chapter 2, would you please stand with me? Hebrews chapter 2, and once you find your place there, please stand with me. Bible makes it very clear. Anytime we read the Bible, we hear from God. Amen?
Amen.
So it might not be completely appropriate for us to ask God to speak to us, because as we read the Bible, He is speaking to us, and we're going to see that here in just a minute. But our desire is for God's Holy Spirit to work in our heart.
Amen.
And when the Holy Spirit works in your heart, you'll know it. Conviction comes. Things will be changed. And decisions will be made, and lives will be changed, and souls will be saved. And that's what we desire today. So right before we begin the message this morning, I'd ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to ask Brother Mendez to come to the podium and ask God to speak to us this morning through the Word of God by the Holy Spirit and work in our hearts. Remain standing as we read Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you again this morning that we have been able to assemble. Thank you for each one here. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would grab our attention and that we would be able to hear through the Word of God what He has to say to us today. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless this time. Give us wisdom. Give us direction. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The beginning of the passage in verse 1 talks about letting things slip. And I want you to understand that there is a responsibility that you and I have. Folks, the fact is we have a choice. We can listen to God or we can ignore Him. We can serve God or we can serve something else. When you see that very first word in chapter 2, it's the word therefore. Anytime you see the word therefore, you want to find out what it's there for. Amen?
Amen?
And therefore points us back to chapter 1. You may remember that chapter 1 had a great amount of emphasis over the fact that Jesus Christ is greater than the angels. And the beginning of chapter 1 and verse 2 made this statement. He says that he hath, God, in these last days, hath spoken unto us by his Son. In chapter 2, the therefore reminds us that we've heard from the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we live in a day when we have the luxury of opening a copy of the Word of God, which is pure.
Amen.
Anytime, day or night, you can open this book, you can read it, you can hear from God. Amen?
Right. Amen.
You want to hear what God has to say, read your Bible. And I want you to understand something. Our church believes that this is the pure Word of God. We do not correct it. We do not detract from it. We don't explain it away. We don't redefine it. We want to know what God has to say. And you and I have that privilege of hearing from Him. In chapter 1, the mentioning of his voice is very clear. And in chapter 2, there's a need for us to listen to his voice. There's a word at the end of verse 1. It's that word slip. The word means to have something slip through your fingers or to flow by. Probably all of us, somewhere in our life, have reached down into some water and grabbed a handful of sand, a handful of wet sand. You ever done that? And you got a good quantity of that wet sand when you first start out of the water. And then no matter how hard you try, by the time you get very far out of the water, most of that sand has flowed out. And there's not a whole lot left. That's the idea behind slipping. And it's so applicable because here's what happens. There are great things in the Word of God. There are promises. Amen? We love the promises, especially the promises where God promises to care for us and protect us and provide for us. And I love the promise to where the Bible says, if we're saved, we're saved for all eternity.
Amen.
But sometimes what happens is, as we let things slip through our fingers, we lose some of the things in the Word of God where there's not a whole lot left. It'd be a shame for us to let the things that Jesus Christ has said to us through the Bible slip away and not be part of our life, not change us, not make us what we ought to be. That's the idea behind that word slip. We live in a day where many things have slipped. Used to be, for example, there were churches that preached the gospel. Today, they don't do that anymore. Very, very few churches. Used to be in our nation, if you walked into a church, let's say 150 years ago, even churches of many different denominations, there's a good chance you would have heard the gospel presented in some way. Today, sadly, but truly, most of the churches you walk into today, you might not hear the gospel. You might not hear it clearly presented at all. Shame on us if we don't continue to preach the gospel clearly, amen? There are nations, ours in particular, that used to believe the Bible. Do you understand that in the 1950s, about the time I was born, about 60 years ago, our nation was close enough to God that they added the phrase to the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. Can you imagine the outcry that there would be heard today if we tried to do that now? It's astounding how far our nation has fallen just in a few decades. And folks, we need to pray for our younger generation because these young people that are in our midst today, those in their teens and early 20s, I wonder what this nation is going to be in 40 years. I wonder what's going to be left. It's going to be a very difficult place to present the gospel to folks, I can assure you of that. There are families that used to faithfully attend church. Today they do not. In fact, that's become a way of life in our nation. It used to be on Sunday morning, people went to church. Today, they go to the park or the lake or the soccer field or the football game or whatever, and church has become of no importance to them. Things have slipped. There used to be men and women that walked with God. They had His hand in theirs, and they've let go of that. Now, I can tell you this as we go through the message. Probably somewhere along the way, you begin to ask yourself the question, what can be done about that? And I'm going to show you some things at the end, but try to stay with me as we flow along through this. Why do people let things slip and what can be done about it? Well, people get comfortable. People let things become routine to them. They get old. They don't get the desire met that used to be met, or they get their eyes off of God and onto the things of the world. So let's talk about slipping today and show you some things here in Hebrews chapter 2 that trustfully would be a blessing to us and a strength to us, because as he says, we should not let them slip. First of all, there's a concern, and let me just reiterate that. Look at verse 1. He says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. There's a concern. It could happen. It could happen. It could have happened, perhaps. We were looking at some old pictures. We've got a picture in our house that was taken when my wife and I were first married. And, you know, you look at the people in that picture, and And that was over 30 years ago. And you look at those people in that picture and you think of how they look now and you think, wow, they let some things slip, didn't they? Be careful, brother, if you laugh, it might be. Brother Antonio, was there ever a day you had a full head of hair? There are some things you just can't help. Age is what it is. But what a shame it would be if, as a born-again Christian, we didn't continue to grow in the Lord. Amen? You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ saved you, the greatest thing happened. He took all your sins away from you. He gave you the Holy Spirit. That's the reason that when you get away from God, you have this reminder, this still small voice that keeps saying, you need to go back. You need to take care of that. You need to walk away from that sin and go back to the Lord. When God saved you, He did great things in your life, but He had great things also in store for you. Understanding the Bible better, knowing the Lord better, trusting Him better. The trials that God withheld from you as a newborn Christian because you couldn't possibly have handled those trials, as you grow in Him, then you can take on some things that are heavier and more difficult. God has a desire that you would be, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, that you and I would be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be becoming more and more like Him every day. That's God's plan. But when you let things slip, it just goes the other direction. Instead of getting closer to God, you get farther away from God. You can see it happening and you don't like to look at it, but it's there. The things that you used to not do, well, now they're not quite such a problem for you. The sin that you used to stay far away from, now you tolerate some of that in your life. The holiness that was evident in your life, now it's not quite so evident. That's the slippage He's talking about. And folks, there's definitely a concern here. There's no question about it. He says it is possible. We could let them slip. The word let has the idea of allowing something to happen. You know, the interesting thing is, we all think of ourselves as being okay. We look at ourselves, and if we're not careful, if we judge ourselves by our standards, we say to ourselves, I'm doing all right. We should judge ourselves by the Word of God. Amen? I would trust today that God would comfort you and not just chasten you, because there is the opportunity to take care of those kinds of things. He says in verse 1 that there are certain things that we need to deal with. And He says at any time. In other words, this could happen. There is a possibility that we could slip. And there's a consequence for slippage. Look at verse 2. He says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Slipping has horrible consequences. I've got to remind you of the context in the book of Hebrews, and I think that you hearing this would probably say, praise the Lord, I haven't gotten that far along yet. But in the book of Hebrews, there were people that were considering leaving the Lord Jesus Christ, leaving His church, leaving the practices in that church, and going back to their old Hebrew ways, to their old sacrifices and the things they used to be. And they were looking at doing so because of the persecution that they were facing. I mentioned earlier, some of the young people here are likely, but it may be that some of us older folks as well are likely to face some persecution in this nation before too long, simply because we believe this book. This book that denounces sin. This book that declares there's only one way to have salvation. It's not a popular message, becoming less popular all the time. These people that were facing this persecution, they were in a position where they said, if we would just not be so diligent, not be so specifically adherent to the Word of God, if we could go back and do some of the things we used to do, maybe life would be easier. And Paul, writing to these folks, says, no, don't believe that at all. Things won't get better, they'll get worse. There are consequences. Look at what he says in verse 2. He says, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Think of the Old Testament. There were people in the Old Testament, even all the way back to when Moses was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. And there were examples after example of people that refused to obey God and paid the price. Even in the New Testament, in the times of the beginning of the New Testament churches, when, as Brother Hickson's been teaching in the book of Acts, when things were very, very new, and Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit, and one by one, the two of them fell down dead. In the Bible, there is a consequence for disobedience. And folks, we live in a day of grace to where sometimes, because God doesn't deal with us right away, we get the misconception, the misunderstanding that perhaps God doesn't care about our sin. Folks, God cares about sin. Perhaps God doesn't care about our disobedience. Folks, God cares about our disobedience. Some people say, well, if I don't serve God, it doesn't seem to make any difference in my life. I wish you could just stick your head through the door and glimpse into eternity and see the difference there. There is an effect. There is a consequence. There's a result of disobedience. And listen to me. I'm going to be maybe a tad humorous, but just bear with me. You've all heard your parents somewhere along the way make the comment as they chastened you that it hurt them more than it hurt you. And at the time it was happening, you were thinking, yeah, right. I'm not seeing it that way. I can remember my dad saying that to me. He didn't want to have to punish me. And I couldn't understand the idea that it was causing him any grief at all. It was causing me a great deal of grief when he was punishing me. But it didn't seem to bother him an awful lot, even though he said so. But then I had children. And those of us that have children, we know how it breaks our heart to have to discipline them. But let me tell you something, as long as I'm on the subject, please discipline them. Because the Bible says you save their soul from hell. And let me say this to you, if you don't discipline them, the day will come when you'll wish you had. But when we discipline our children, it hurts us. It hurts us because we don't want to see them have to go through that. We don't want to see them have to suffer. We want them to be happy. We love to give our children things. We love to bless them. We love to make them happy because when they're happy, we're happy. Now listen to me, that's exactly the same way God is. God wants you to be happy, and when you are happy, it's a blessing to Him. But when we get out of the path, when we let things slip, when we neglect what we know we ought to pay attention to, there has to be a consequence. And it could very well be that some of the issues in your life right now are a consequence of letting things slip. And like I said, when I finish, I'll try to help you a little bit to get a hold of them again. There's a caution. There's a concern here. It could happen. There's a consequence. It has a result. And then look at verse 3 and 4. There's also a certainty, and let me explain this to you after I read the verse. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And then he goes on and talks about how God confirmed that. Folks, it's a blessing. I can tell you one thing about this book that is not true about any other book on the face of the earth, and that is, this book is the truth. Amen. We probably all read something somewhere along the way, and we read the article or the book or whatever, and we said to ourselves, that's not right. They don't know what they're talking about. Listen to me, folks. God knows what He's talking about. And He doesn't have to prove that to you. The fact that He said it settles it. But praise God, it is a book that works. You know, one of the reasons the Bible is so pleasant to read is because this book knows me better than I know me. This book sees things in me that I don't even see myself sometimes. And this book allows me to hear the voice of God very clearly, showing me all the things I need to know to live a life that pleases God, and to live a life that therefore pleases me. And isn't it interesting, Christian, how when we depart from this book, it doesn't make us feel better, it makes us feel worse. And if you get far enough away from this book, here's what will happen to you. God will start convicting you, and His Spirit will begin to work in you, and you'll think to yourself, I've got to get back. I'm not sure how many of you have heard this story. I'll tell a very short version of it. But when I was in my teens, my parents took me to church very faithfully. all the way through high school, and it wasn't a perfect church, but there is no perfect church, so that's not an issue. Someone says, well, I want to join the perfect church. Don't do so, you'll ruin it. Amen? No, I went to this church, and when I got out of high school, I went off to college 400 miles away. I didn't have my parents guiding me anymore, and I quit going to church. Shame on me. I let some things slip. I continued that into my early 20s, so for half a dozen years or so. And God convicted me and convicted me and convicted me. And finally, in my early 20s, mid-20s perhaps, I can remember the day. I can close my eyes and see the place. I sat down on the edge of my bed and I prayed, God, I have messed up my life. Do something. This is not where I ought to be. Do something. And the next thing I did, the Bible that I had as a child was back at home. Shame on me again for that. And so I went to, of all places, a Kmart and found a King James Bible for, I think I might have paid $5 for it in a Kmart, and started reading the Word of God. Praise God for the Word of God. Amen. You say, Pastor, I've let some things slip. I just don't know how to get back. I can tell you this, it's going to start in the Word of God and in prayer. Say, well, I've heard that 1,000 times. Well, why haven't you tried it yet? The Word of God will change us. And, you know, you got away from your Father in heaven and you began to listen to the world and you lost sight of Him and you quit hearing His voice. And then when you hear His voice again, doesn't it sound so good? Isn't that a blessing? This is God, and He's still willing to speak to me. And by the way, Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. The Spirit of God was still inside of me. And just by asking God, God, I can't do it. I didn't do it. I'm turning back to You. If you've read the story of the prodigal son, amen? When he came back to the father, there was great rejoicing. Wouldn't you? If you want to cause some rejoicing in heaven today, turn back to God and see what happens. The sin is not worth it. The pleasure of sin for a season that Moses turned down. Can you imagine his opportunity? He could have been in the royal family of Egypt, the most powerful nation on the earth that had the finest of everything. And he said, no, I don't want that. I want to be with the people of God and suffer reproach with them if necessary. And it was, rather than have the things the world has to offer. That's a Christian perspective. And when you turn back to God, that's the way it feels. It's wonderful. There's a certainty. God's word is steadfast. He says that there was a just, there was a transgression had a recompense for every one of them. It says every transgression had a recompense. We all tend to think we're going to be the exception. Don't learn the hard way that you're not the exception. God's word is applicable to all of us, and what God said applies to all of us. And so then finally, we have the concern. We need to be careful. We have the consequence. If we slip, if we let things slip, there's going to be a result. We have a certainty. God's word is sure. We can turn back to that. And then there is a cure. Now keep your fingers here in Hebrews chapter 2, if you would, please, and turn back with me to Job 28. Job 28. If you have a hard time finding Job, just go to Psalms and then come back a little bit. Job's 28. The very, very last verse in that chapter, just right there at the end of chapter 28. The Bible says, and this is Job speaking, by the way, but the Bible says this. The Bible says in verse 28, unto man he, that's God, said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Now, I talked about responsibility a little bit right at the first. You and I have responsibility. We have choices to make. You, for example, today, you could choose whether to be in church or not. When you go home this afternoon, you can choose whether to pray before you have your noon meal. And tonight at 6 o'clock, you can choose whether or not to be in church tonight. We have choices. We have choices every day of the week. We can choose to hear from God through His Word or not. We can choose to talk to God through prayer or not. We can choose to live for God or not. Don't let the devil make you believe the lie that you can't help it. Now, I understand there are some things we can't help. Just push that off to the side for a minute. Let's not worry about those. What about the things you can help? Amen? You know, you want to see some result. There should be two things here. The fear of the Lord and the departure from evil. Do you remember, it's an easy to illustrate, when you were younger, and or maybe even now, if you still drive like Mark McMahon and some of those fellows, you're driving down the road, and you look back, and there's a policeman behind you? That changes the way you drive, doesn't it, Mark? If you're driving down the road, and you see a policeman, all of a sudden you realize something, I better behave. I was driving to church one Sunday morning in Maryland, and there's this one stop sign, and I would blow that stop sign every single Sunday because there was an enormous parking lot for the train station, and that's why the stop sign was there. But on Sunday, the train didn't run. The parking lot was empty. They should have taken that sign down Saturday night and put it back up Monday morning. But there it is on the side of the road, and I blew through that thing on a Sunday morning. My wife was with me. And a policeman stopped me. I'm a pastor. I thought we got a break or something. I don't know. This policeman stopped me. What am I going to say? I didn't see it. That's a lie. I didn't know I was supposed to stop. That's a lie, too. Besides, my wife would have said, yeah, he knew, you know. And I said, look, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. I'm guilty. And praise God, the fellow said, yes, I know. And he wrote me a warning instead of a ticket. Amen? And I knew better. That pedal right next to the gas, Mark, that's the brake pedal, okay? It slows the car down. It'll stop the car if you push on it hard enough and long enough. And I have the ability to take my foot off the gas and put on that brake pedal. It was my choice. I chose to break the law. Folks, it wouldn't be sin unless you had a choice. Sin is a decision that we make. And to depart from that is understanding. To fear the Lord, realizing He's watching, that's wisdom. You say, what should I do in my life, Pastor? I've let some things slip. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Amen? Well, it can't be that easy. I don't know what to tell you. That's what the Bible says. And I'm telling you, we can do that. Amen? Now, I understand. People get sick. There's some folks that can't be here today because they're ill. I understand that occasionally people have reasons they cannot be in church, but most of the time we can. And you know what's a blessing? Well, first of all, I'm going to say this. Don't do it in order to be blessed. Do it because you love God. But when you do it, then He blesses you. Not a prosperity theology here. You may go through some trials and suffering. We all do. But I can tell you this. When you walk with God and you know you're right with Him, when you know you're right with Him and you know He's right with you, then you know that He knows what's best in your life. You might not have chosen it that way, but in the end, God knew what was best. I hear people say to me all the time, Pastor, I've gotten away from God. I want to get back. Well, start taking those steps. You can. Sadly, I have on too many occasions. One, I remember very specifically in Utah, a fellow came down to the altar one Sunday morning weeping and crying, and he wanted to be right with God. And the pastor asked me to pray with this fellow, and I prayed with him, and he said, I want to do what's right. And he got up and walked out of the church, and I never saw him again. It's not just knowing what to do that counts, folks. Take those steps. That's what the Bible says. Go back to Hebrews and we'll finish up. We're out of time. Hebrews chapter 2. There's a cure. In fact, he says it right there in chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, give earnest heed. Give earnest heed. Earnest means you're serious about it. You know, when you buy a house, you give them earnest money. Earnest money says, I want to buy this house. I'm willing to put this money on the table to prove that. Earnest heed. Just listen to what God has to say. And here's the good thing about God. God's not asking you for perfection. He's asking you to pay attention. He will develop more perfection as your life goes on. But right now, there's something God wants you to do. Give it earnest heed. Pay attention to it. Be serious about it. Do what God has for you to do. When I got out of God's will and I sat down on my bed and I prayed, God, I've messed up my life. Please do something. I went and found a Bible, began to read the Bible. A short period of time passed, I lost my job. You say, well, Pastor, that's terrible. You prayed and asked God to do something in your life and you lost your job? Yeah. And then guess what happened? We moved to Salt Lake City, Utah, into a house about 5 blocks away from the only good fundamental independent Baptist church in the whole city. And we joined that church and got right with God, and here I am. God does that kind of thing, folks. Don't expect to be able to map it out. You're not going to see the way God does it until you can look back, and I can look back over my life and I can say, oh, I can see God putting me on the right trail all the way through. It's not an overnight process. It's not a predictable process, but it's a sure thing. If you'll turn to God, He'll turn to you. So he says very clearly there. He says, give earnest heed. He says, don't let those things slip. He says, don't be negligent in verse 3. They neglected, and that's what was happening. They neglected the salvation. They let it go. So what can I tell you? First of all, this, God has spoken. And he's been so good to us, we have those words right here in this book. We can see what God wants in our life. God has given his son to die on the cross and pay for our sins. You don't think God's serious about you? Just remember, he gave his son to save you from hell. That's how serious God is about you. That's how much he loved you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We won't go on into the chapter right now, but as he continues in chapter 2, he talks about righteousness. He talks about what Jesus can do for us and the promises he's made to us, enemies being destroyed. And he even describes in this chapter, we'll get to it another Sunday, how God's going to make all things new again. One of these days, everything you can see is going to be burned up. And God's going to create a brand new heaven and a brand new earth with no curse, no sin, no sadness, no sickness, none of those things. And you can get a glimpse of that in your life if you'll just do what I told you to do. Now, right now, the devil's going to say to you, that's impossible. You're too weak. You've tried before and failed. The devil ever give you that lie? The devil gives you that lie. You tried before and you failed. You know, when I was a child, and you too probably, there came that day where Dad said, let's take the training wheels off the bike. And I've still got scars from that, I think. But you know, you can ride a bike. I would have sworn it was impossible when I first tried. But after a while, I learned how to ride that bike. And it's the same way with the Christian life. You're going to fall and skin yourself once in a while. But don't give up. Folks, God doesn't give up on you. It can be done. And it's just so simple that we got to think there's got to be some secret ingredient. There's got to be some trick. There's got to be some silver bullet or some key that just makes it all work. All there is. Fear God and depart from evil. Give it a try, amen? And finally, before we pray, I know many of you here, a few of you I don't know as well as I could, but I want you to understand this. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And I read the end of the book. At the end of the book, the Bible says death and hell are cast into a lake of fire. Jesus preached more about hell than he did about heaven. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. It is not something you can earn. It is not something that you have to do certain things in order to obtain. Baptism, for example, will not save you. But the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can open this book and you can see what God had to say. And God said this. He said in Romans chapter 10, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because Jesus, when he died on that cross, 2 Corinthians 5, he took your sins and mine upon himself. And when we receive him, he gives us his righteousness. It's called being born again. And when you are born again, the Bible says you are now reconciled with God. You are no more enmity. You're at peace with him. And his spirit lives within you. If you have not ever done that, please let us help you with that today. Let's all stand and pray.